Hi everyone, I'm Israel Smith and this is Illuminating Lives. Welcome back to the podcast, dear listener. You are with Israel and I'm really, really excited to dig into a meaty subject with you today. Last week around the world was Are You Okay Day, that day where we are encouraged to start conversations with people with the belief and the hope that they can change lives. I have personally experienced tough conversations like this. I have really benefited from being asked, am I okay, and being given the opportunity to check in a really genuine way. And I'm a huge advocate for the way Are You Okay, actually, as an organization, the way they sort of teach about how to have a conversation, how to have a kind of a meaningful and effective conversation about this topic. Because let's be honest, most of the time, hey, how you going? You okay? Yeah, good, fine, thanks. Okay, bye, see ya. It's fairly abrupt, but that's the general guts behind most of our interactions. We tend to operate at a very superficial surface level a lot of the time. But what I personally find really powerful about this is that it encourages us to pause, to ask genuinely, and perhaps even to phrase the question slightly differently to really connect at a deeper level with somebody. Hey, how are you going? Look, I've just been wondering. I know you've been going through a bit of stuff, or it seems like you're not quite yourself. Is everything all right? Are you okay? You know, the power of that conversation, the power of that phrasing, as opposed to, hey, how you doing? Very, very different. So today's episode was prompted by Are You Okay Day. It was also prompted by some personal events. And it's also prompted by an exciting bit of work that I'm working on for one of my corporate clients, which is coming up later this month, September, and then onwards into October and November. And the crux of it is hard conversations. How do we have hard conversations? How do we have conversations that make us feel uncomfortable, usually emotionally, sometimes mentally? Because those conversations, well, often they're necessary and often they're the kinds of things that we avoid. So where I want to start with this is just with, I guess, the idea of Are You Okay Day as a bit of a framework, and then sort of dig into some of the components of uncomfortable or difficult conversations, some of the distinctions I've come across in my adventures from mentors and from other people whose work I follow very closely, and then explore a bit about these uncomfortable conversations and about what it takes to really have them, to practice them, to become good at them. So starting with Are You Okay Day, an interesting thing that doesn't often get discussed is, what does okay mean? What is okay? Is it the same for everybody? Or does the definition of okay change a little bit from person to person? My belief is that everyone's version of okay or wellness or fine, thanks, is slightly different. Some people have a really high tolerance for pain physically. Some people don't. Some people scratch themselves and they're in tears on the floor fainting. And that's not to judge, right? Everyone is different. But there's a huge spectrum of, you know, physical okayness. Emotionally, we are also all very different. So our ability to handle different events from an emotional perspective can be very, very different. And also our intellectual ability to handle things, our mental toughness, our resilience, like all of these things, humanity exists on a bit of a spectrum, a bit of a kind of a range for these sorts of things. So I think before we go any further, it's really important, and this helps open up this conversation in a beautiful way, it's important to consider that we are all different. One person's okay, feeling great, really happy, is another person's, oh my God, I'm so miserable. This is really hard. Right. So keep that in mind, because that'll come up as we dig into some of the other distinctions about these sorts of conversations. But first of all, just have a think about, what does okay mean to you? How do you define it? And then consider that that is likely completely different to somebody else. Now, moving into that a little more, the nature of these sorts of conversations, particularly the kind of are you okay, the slightly deeper level check-in conversations, is that they require usually a high degree of compassion and empathy. Now, I'm going to refer to the amazing work of Brené Brown, who's a bit of an expert in all this kind of stuff. And her most recent book, Atlas of the Heart, is like a dictionary for emotions, right? And so helpful. So in her book, Atlas of the Heart, Brené Brown defines compassion as the daily practice of recognizing and accepting our shared humanity so that we treat ourselves and others with loving kindness, and we take action in the face of suffering. Right? And apparently in the research literature, a similar definition comes up. It's a virtuous response that seeks to address the suffering and needs of a person through relational understanding and action. Right, so key to that is the shared humanity piece. We're all humans. We all have some experience of, well, some shared experience, right? We are all likely to, at some point, experience suffering, and it's bringing kindness, loving kindness to that experience so that we can go, okay, for ourselves, how can we be kind to ourselves? How can we show self-compassion to others? How can we, you know, hold the best intentions behind someone's actions? And, you know, from there, how can we take action to alleviate either ours or others' suffering? So that's compassion. Empathy is slightly different, and it's often described as, you know, walking in somebody else's shoes. But there's this beautiful page in Brené Brown's book where she sort of debunks that, or at least reframes it. And she says this: we need to dispel the myth that empathy is walking in someone else's shoes. Rather than walking in your shoes, I need to learn how to listen to the story you tell about what it's like in your shoes and believe you, even when it doesn't match my experiences. I love that. I love this idea that empathy is about believing that somebody else can have a completely different experience to us and accepting that as true for them, right? And there's a fair bit of nuance I'm not going to get into. Like, she goes into quite a bit more detail in the book about it, but highly recommend pick up a copy of this book, Atlas of the Heart by Brené Brown. Amazing read. So the two pieces there, compassion and empathy, compassion about recognizing our shared humanity, empathy about acknowledging that somebody else's experience of life can be completely different to ours, and that's actually fine. And then the ability to believe them in that moment. There's another distinction I want to bring into this, which is essential for these. And that's another Brené Brown distinction, which is about what she calls a rumble. Now, she's written and spoken an enormous amount about shame, about vulnerability, about guilt, about all these really messy, dark, shadow side sort of emotions, but especially the vulnerability stuff and courage. And, you know, her work tells us that there's no courage without vulnerability. There's no bravery without risking some part of ourselves in some way. Now, the thing about, I guess, the term rumble is that she sort of has claimed it and defined it or redefined it in a way that says it's about, let's have a hard conversation. So in her words, and this is taken from her book, Dare to Lead, a rumble is a discussion, a conversation, or a meeting defined by a commitment to lean into vulnerability, to stay curious and generous, to stick with the messy middle of problem identification and solving, to take a break and circle back if or when necessary, to be fearless in owning our parts, and to listen with the same passion with which we want to be heard. So she follows that up. She says, more than anything else, when someone says to me, let's rumble, it cues me to show up with an open heart and mind so we can serve the work and serve each other, not our egos. I've spent quite a bit of time on definitions, but this is such important stuff, right? Hard conversations are at the core of really authentic, really beautiful human connection. They are at the core of us living aligned with our values, living in integrity, and they really are at the core of us being our best and being able to show up as our best for others. Fact is, humans are messy, all right? We've got so many different layers of emotion and thought and physical and mental and spiritual stuff going on all the time. It is tough sometimes to parse our way through all of that, to fight through the weeds. And a lot of the time, in fact, I would say all of us have learned there are some things we just can't say. There are some things we need to avoid, like the plague. And some of the time, we need to shield ourselves or armor up. We need to put on protective coatings and push people away so we don't get hurt. We've often had experiences in social settings, especially when we were young, that have told us, oh, you can't talk about that because someone will have a go at you and it's not safe. Right? And that's fine that that was part of our childhood experience. But my speculation is that, well, in fact, the statistics back me up on this. The vast majority of people who listen to this podcast are grown-ass adults. You guys and me, we are all adults. I think the average age is somewhere between 35 and 50 who listen to this podcast. So I'm squarely in that wheelhouse, about to turn 45. And it's up to us now at this point in our lives to start to learn these skills, to learn how to rumble, to learn how to have hard conversations, and to remember that we need to use compassion and we need to use empathy and open hearts and our listening ears and all of these tools. We need to use them when we're having hard conversations. Now, let's bring it back to Are You Okay Day, right? The premise behind this whole day is raising awareness about suicide, about mental illness, and checking in with people to help see if they're having a hard time, with the tagline of a conversation can change a life. I absolutely agree with all of this, and I think it's a remarkable, remarkable organization that do great work and have done massive amounts to raise awareness of mental illness, of suicide prevention, and other really tough topics for a very long time. The part I want to get into real quick is the part about how to ask, right? There's a really beautiful framework, and I'm going to link to it in the show notes on the Are You Okay website, which in Australia is ruok.org.au. On the front page, it actually has a link, the very first menu item, how to ask. And this is this beautiful framework, right? The four steps: ask, listen, encourage action, and check in. Now, I would say to you that the vast majority of the time that I have steered away from uncomfortable conversations and that others have steered away, that you may have steered away from uncomfortable or hard conversations, is because we don't know what to say. We don't know how to work our way through the conversation, and we get really, really concerned or afraid or scared that we're going to screw it up. And so we just don't even start the chat. Does that sound familiar? Certainly did for me. And I will say that, you know, I've taken this to a whole other extreme in the suicide first aid training that I've done, but that whole 2-day course was literally one great big practice session of how to get comfortable with a damn uncomfortable conversation of, are you thinking about taking your life? Right? Now, we're not quite at that level here with the Are You Okay Day premise, but let me just talk through the different pieces of this model, because I think it's really instructive and I think it's a beautiful framework we can use in other parts. So first of all, they make it really clear that before we even ask, we need to actually consider, am I ready? Am I okay? Am I in a good headspace? Am I willing to commit the time to listen? Am I willing to genuinely listen? Am I ready for the fact that someone might say, no, actually, I'm not okay and I really need to talk? You know, is it the sort of time or moment that someone's ready? They've got on their website here, have I chosen somewhere relatively private and comfy? Have I figured out a time that will be good? Have I made sure I have enough time to chat properly? The worst time to ask this kind of thing is when you're just about to race out the door, or where you have to buzz off to a meeting, or whether you're about to meet with clients, or when you have some other commitment that's going to impinge on your ability to have a meaningful chat. The best time to ask is when you have some time set aside and you know that the person you need to ask doesn't have anything on. And if the conversation takes 10 minutes or an hour or 2 hours, that's okay. So really the first step in this whole thing is just a personal check-in. Am I okay? Am I ready to have this conversation? Am I prepared for this conversation? And have I picked the right moment? Now, how to ask? Remember at the start of this episode, I talked about the quick flyby. Hey, how you going? Good? Yeah, fine. Okay, bye. Not the way to ask. This is really about being relaxed, being friendly, and showing genuine concern, showing some compassion, having that empathy tool right there ready to use, and starting gently and easing into this sort of conversation. Now, I've always had, I suppose, one of those intuitive knacks about how to go below the surface level with somebody. I've usually been able to, just through, I don't know if it's an instinctive thing for me, just like it's a tone of voice or it's just a gut feeling, but I recognize that not everyone has that. So my tips about how to ask somebody is really consider, how would you want to be asked if you are genuinely okay? How do you ease into this conversation? And like I said a little earlier, it may well be, hey, I've just sort of been noticing you've been a bit quieter than usual, or you haven't been yourself, or I'm just a little, you know, just a bit concerned for you, and I just want to make sure that you're okay. So, you know, how are you going? What's been happening? Those sorts of things, right? Now, from this, someone might say, no, I'm literally fine. Thank you so much. It's important that you believe them. It's important that you respect them. And you can close the conversation there and say, okay, listen, I get that. If there's ever a time that you need to chat, I'm here, I'm available. You can call me, you can reach out. Or maybe even like, you know, I recognize it might actually be you just don't want to talk to me, but would it help if I asked somebody else on your behalf to have a chat with you? Or is it someone you feel more comfortable with? Whatever their particular preference, the key here is acknowledge, recognize, believe them. Part two, listen with an open mind, right? So assuming they've said, yep, okay, I do need to talk. I'm not okay and I need to just have somebody listen. It's really important at that point to go, okay, well, I'm here to listen. But tell me what you need to tell me. Be patient. Don't rush this part. And it's really helpful in a lot of cases to just reflect back what you're hearing. Oh, okay, look, I'm hearing this. This sounds like what you're going through. Am I understanding that right? Or could you say more? Could you explain that a bit better? I really want to understand, but I just don't quite get it at the moment. Right, those sorts of things show such genuine caring, such listening, and it's very active listening. Right, those sorts of things help the person who's struggling feel really seen and really heard and really acknowledged. And I can tell you from my own experiences of when I was at my lowest with depression, I wanted to be seen. I wanted to be heard. I wanted to be acknowledged for where I was at. I didn't want to get judged. I didn't want to get told to suck it up, sunshine, you'll be fine. I wanted someone to go, yeah, I get it. I hear you saying that you're struggling and you're in pain. Okay, I know what it feels like to be struggling. I know what it feels like to be in pain. We're all humans, right? This is that shared humanity piece, the compassion piece. So that's listening with an open mind. Now, the next step, it's really important we don't try and fix somebody. We don't try and go into, you know, problem-solving mode and try and fix everything up, because it might make us feel better, but it may do nothing to help them feel better. So this is where we start asking questions. Well, you know, what have you tried so far to handle this? Or what have you done in the past to manage similar situations? How do you think I might be able to support you? What is it that you need that I might be able to help you with? You could even say, look, I don't have exact experience of what you've gone through, but I went through something similar, this, this, and this, and I tried this, this, and this. That could be helpful for you. What do you think? You know, it could also be, now look, if it's been a bit of a lengthy thing, you know, it might be really useful to connect with somebody who can support you more than I can. So would you like my help in finding someone for you to talk to, say maybe a trained professional or a GP or a counselor or something, right? But really, it's about encouraging that next step, encouraging some action. Now, there are a huge number of resources available from within this page about expert help that's on offer, right? There's loads of mental health resources. There's loads of people offering support in the arena of mental health, well-being, that kind of stuff. I think the main thing is it's important that you say, look, I really would love to support you if that's helpful, and I encourage you to maybe take this action that might be really powerful for you to help make this change. Finally, the check-in. Now, the check-in is let a little bit of time go past. So maybe a week, maybe a couple of days, maybe a couple of weeks, and just say, hey, just been thinking of you. I just thought I'd circle back, check in. Let me know how you're going. What's been happening since we last spoke? And for some people, it'll be, I've done nothing. For other people, it might be, look, I've made some changes and it's actually really on the up and up. For some people, like, look, I'm really doing my best to make some stuff happen. I'm still struggling a bit. And that might be an opportunity for you to have another genuine conversation about what they need and what's going to help them. Right, that's the four-step process on Are You Okay's website about how to have that conversation. Number one, ask. Number two, listen. Number three, encourage action. Number four, check in. Right, this is a rumble. This is an opportunity to get comfortable feeling uncomfortable. These sorts of conversations are, in a way, a bit like riding a bike. You wobble like mad the first few times. You feel like you're going to fall off. You feel like you're going to break something. But here's what I know to be true. At the heart of these sorts of conversations is a desire to connect human to human and a desire to help or to serve or to make their life a little bit easier in some way or to just show some compassion or some empathy. So when you hold that as your highest intention and when you are able to take a minute and get yourself prepared and get yourself in the right mindset to have a conversation like this, it really is about embrace the fear. Embrace the vulnerability, be brave, be courageous, and lean in. And look, honestly, honesty is the best policy. If I were to do this and I'd never done it before, say, listen, I need to be really upfront here. I'm not very good at these sorts of conversations. I don't know how to have them very well. I really want to do my best here, and it's quite possible I might screw up. So please go easy on me. I'm doing my best, and I really want to, you know, be supportive. And if I fumble my words or if I kind of get a little bit stuck here, it's all me. It's nothing to do with you. And that's the kind of statement that can really defuse any tension, you know, because it's a real acknowledgement. Like, we're human. We're here to have this conversation. I'm really here to connect with you. I'm here to support you in some way if I can. So these sorts of conversations, the tools I've spoken about so far, the rumble, the compassion, the empathy, really powerful tools when it comes to the workplace environment, and really powerful tools when it comes to our interpersonal relationships with our loved ones, our immediate and our extended family. Now, I had a conversation recently with an extended family member. I'm not going to go into major detail, but it was really hard. because we'd had a disagreement about some stuff months ago that hadn't been resolved, that I felt was unresolved. And so I noticed myself avoiding this conversation. In fact, I spoke to my coach about it. I said, listen, I've just really recognized that I need to have this conversation. And yet every time this person comes up on my phone or in my messages, I feel this sense of dread. I don't want to have this conversation. I want to run away from it. She said, right. So on the one hand, you're telling me that you really want to lean into being vulnerable and having true, authentic connection and living in integrity with your values. And on the other hand, you're running away from hard stuff. I went, ouch. So what ended up happening was I looked at this framework I just went through, ask, listen, encourage, action, check in. And I kind of adapted it and I spoke to my coach and she said, look, first things first, you need to be really prepared yourself. You can't go into this conversation unclear. So, you know, again, the Are You Okay framework, preparation before you ask, before you start the conversation. And so I got really clear and I went, okay, what was it that really upset me? What was my part in that? What was something, or what do I need to feel complete, to feel like this is now resolved? And I just wrote it all out in dot points. I didn't try and plan the conversation. I just thought, here are the things that I think are really important for me to say, and here's why. And if I'm really blunt with myself and honest with you, my dear listener, the main thing is I just needed to be heard. I just needed to say the things that I needed to say. I was, by this point, the argument was so old and stale that all of the emotional charge had gone out of it. And I was just looking back at it going, I really don't want that to happen again. I really want to do better. What can I ask for from the other person? And what can I offer from myself that's going to put both of us in a better position for this to never happen again? And so I looked at what I had to contribute, what I had to bring to my to the conversation. I looked at what I needed to ask for. And then I looked at all of the, you know, all of the stuff all around it. And I laid it all out really frankly. You know, I ended up having a phone call. We played a bit of phone tag before I could reach this person. And then I spoke with them and I said, look, I'm feeling like we're still not quite done with that, and I called it like that bloody stupid argument that we had a few months back. And the other person was like, oh, really? I thought we'd resolved that and moved on. I said, yeah, not quite from my perspective. There's a couple of things I need to talk to you about. Like, would you be open to that chat? And, you know, we danced around this part for a while about when's the right time. And then I thought, you know, we're making this all too hard. I said, look, I don't have any anger here. I don't want to rehash the past, all of that. I just want to say a couple of things about how that all happened for me and just share a couple of perspectives that I've really gained over the last little bit of time. And the other person went, oh, okay, I'm all right with that. I said, so look, here it is. And I explained what caused me to feel that way. And it was another Brené Brown trick. The story I'm telling myself, or the story I told myself, because we are meaning-making machines. I've spoken about this in previous episodes, and it's worth repeating. We live inside our head in a narrative story that we tell ourselves. So things happen, and then we tell ourselves a story about what happened. So there was an inciting incident. There was some stuff that happened. I made it mean a whole bunch of stuff. I behaved quite badly. I said some things I shouldn't have said. It then set off this whole other train of events. And I needed to own that, and I needed to own that in person with the person. And I said, look, I've realized that the story I was telling myself when this thing happened was this, this, and this. And they went, oh my God, that's the furthest from the truth. I said, yeah, I know. I've realized that's like nothing like the truth. But I just needed to share with you that's why I went silly. That's why I kind of, you know, why I started behaving the way I behaved and why we had this argument. I said, and then the other part of it I said is that I don't want it to happen again. And here's how I would like to move forward. I said, and, you know, I would like it if you would try this next time we are in this situation. And I'm committing that next time I will not tell myself that sort of story. I will hold the best of intentions rather than jumping to negative conclusions. And, you know, we went through it all and the other person said, right, so, like, what do you need me to say? And I said, you know, I actually think I didn't need you to say anything. I just needed you to listen and hear what I had to say. I just needed to express this. I needed to get this out and I needed to have this conversation so that I could feel complete with it. And it was so powerful. And it was possibly the first time I've ever had this level of deep conversation with this person where we were able to go through a fairly challenging conversation and come out the other side of it. And it was great. It was really, really great. So the power of having uncomfortable conversations is we feel seen. We can give that gift of being seen and being understood to others. We can ask for what we need, which is in a way talking about boundaries, but in a way it's honoring ourselves as well and not subjugating or crushing or squashing ourselves and what we need. And it's a beautiful opportunity to connect more deeply, more vulnerably, more openly with the people in our life, whether that be immediate family, extended family, friends, communities, or work colleagues, or our boss, or our team underneath us. Whatever it is, this is a really powerful way of operating, to have hard conversations. And so I want to sort of challenge you to think about, what's a hard conversation in your life that you've been avoiding? And what is it that you're, why is it, sorry, that you're avoiding that? What are the feelings that show up around that? What are the points of discomfort or fear or shame or guilt or whatever? And then I want to challenge you to look at that and go, okay, is it possible that I can hold that, feel all of those feelings, go through that struggle and that discomfort of feeling those things, and at the same time as I hold all of that, be vulnerable and feel all of that, and be courageous, be open-hearted, and be brave, and lean into this conversation. Ask for what I need. Have a hard conversation with someone close to us or someone that we need to talk about with something. It's a beautiful, beautiful skill, and it's a really, really important thing that we need to have in our toolkit to be fully expressed, to be fully, I guess, authentic and connected to ourselves, right? So here's two hard conversations. Are you okay is a beautiful one, but there are plenty of others, and I'm sure you've already thought of quite a few hard conversations you've been avoiding. My challenge to you, listen to this. Look up Brené Brown's work on rumbling with vulnerability. Look up Atlas of the Heart about empathy and compassion. And if you really get stuck, jump on the intergoogles and look up how to have difficult conversations. I did a quick Google on that before this episode, and there are so many amazing, amazing resources, right? And it goes through a very similar framework. Consider the situation from their perspective. That's empathy. Have a goal in mind, but be flexible, right? Accept that maybe we're not going to have it go every way that we want to, but just be willing to dance and to move in the conversation. Work on your listening skills. That is the biggest. Take care of yourself. You know, make sure that you're prepared and ready for the conversation. So all of these things are so powerful. There's so many resources available. I want you to lean in. I want you to think of a hard conversation you need to have. I want you to set a time for yourself, and I want you to make that a priority. Have that hard conversation. 3 sets, 10 reps. Hard conversations are a muscle. We can get stronger and better at having hard conversations through practice. Like I said, the 2-day suicide workshop that I did about how to be a first aid person, how to have conversations about suicide with someone who is actively thinking about taking their own life, that was literally a masterclass in how to have one of the hardest conversations. And you know, the frameworks are amazing, but what's even more powerful is just when we get really willing to be vulnerable, we get willing to screw up and make mistakes, and we get willing to share that we don't know exactly what we're doing, but we're doing it anyway. I hope this has been useful and interesting for you. And I really do encourage you to check in with people regularly about whether they are okay. Check in with yourself about if you are okay and lean into some of those hard conversations. All right, have an amazing, amazing day wherever you are in the world, and I will talk to you again next episode. Thanks for joining me for this episode of the Illuminating Lives podcast. Please help me reach more people by sharing this podcast with your loved ones and leaving me a great 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Remember, I work as a 1-to-1 coach and professional speaker, helping dads in business and leadership find more peace, feel less stress, and be the best parent, husband, and leader they can be. If you'd like to work with me or have me present to your organization, please contact me via my website or social media. All the links are in the show notes. Until next time, may you be free. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you be loved. And may you live with ease.